We follow up now on an excruciating story on this network. We should warn people, some people will find this disturbing. NPR broadcast portions of audio recordings of executions in Virginia. This was only the second time in history that audio like that had ever been released. NPR investigative reporter Kiara Eisner obtained the tapes from a library where they had sat undisturbed for years. But shortly after NPR aired the tapes, the state asked for them back.
Details about capital punishment are some of the government's most closely guarded secrets. But more than a decade ago, a former employee of the Virginia Department of Corrections donated a briefcase filled with records that explained how the state had executed people. An archivist, Roger Chrisman, took me into the stacks to show me where everything was kept at the Library of Virginia in Richmond.
Here are the tapes.
Wow. Four tapes. Can I look at them?
Yeah.
The tapes contained audio recorded behind the scenes in the death chamber by prison staff.
The inmate is being removed from his cell.
It's 11:04. The first surge of electricity has been administered. It is now 11:07. The physician has announced the expiration of the inmate.
The man who gave the tapes away also shared hundreds of files that documented the last few days of the prisoners' lives. And at the bottom of his bag was one important set of keys.
And then they got what they call the ephemera, which is control panel for the electric chair. Quite sure. I mean, we're not a museum. We don't usually take objects, but this seemed pretty significant that we had the keys to the electric chair.
One of the documents the employee donated showed that the chair had been turned on for 3 minutes before a man named Earl Clanton was executed. Another indicated the prison classified his manner of death as a homicide. The envelope of a sealed autopsy report indicated the authorities didn't examine Clanton's body until 21 days after he died. Chrisman told me sharing that kind of history is central to the library's mission.
Yeah, our ultimate goal is to make records accessible to the public. That's what this entire building and agency is about, regardless of format.
The four execution tapes aired for the first time ever on NPR in January. They were also published online, where anyone can still hear them in full.
Hi, Mr. Chrisman. This is Dean Ricks. I'm the Director of Administrative Compliance.
But immediately after NPR aired them, the Department of Corrections called the library with a special request.
I'm calling so we can discuss these records and getting them returned to the department.
Within a week, the library complied. But they didn't just hand over the tapes. All the other records the employee donated are also now at the Department of Corrections. No one can get them from the library anymore.
There's always been this secrecy surrounding the death penalty and the practices around it that dates all the way back to 1877, when the General Assembly voted to build a wall around gallows.
Dale Brumfield wrote a book about how Virginia abolished the death penalty after the state executed more people than any other. To research it, he referenced some of the execution files in the collection. He says it's a shame others won't get to benefit from them like he did.
The Department of Corrections wanted to clamp down on it and put it back under lock and key. They're just covering up the ugliness of the whole thing.
Both the Department of Corrections and the Library of Virginia declined my requests for interviews to discuss why the collection was turned over. After I asked to see all the materials through an open records request, Corrections said most were off limits and, quote, private in nature. When I was back with Chrisman in the stacks, I managed to take some pictures of the now-secret files. NPR published those photos online so that people can still see some of the information that Corrections tried to hide. But Chrisman told me then how much it had meant for the employee to know that the complete collection of execution materials would live at the library.
He was really happy that he could find a home for these records. He thought they were very important.
Now, it's all behind prison walls again. Kiara Eisner, NPR News.